This is Director Chris Rodriguez of the New Jersey Office of Homeland Security and Preparedness, and I want to welcome you to Season 2 of Intelligence Unclassified. This season, we are refocusing our episodes to better reflect NJOHSP's three core mission areas: counterterrorism, cybersecurity, and emergency preparedness. We'll be pulling both local and national experts in all these fields in an effort to discuss New Jersey's diverse threat landscape and to offer you a unique perspective on current homeland security trends and issues. If this is your first time listening, then thanks for coming. Please feel free to add this podcast to your RSS feed or iTunes. You can also follow us on Twitter at NJOHSP and Facebook. All links can be found in the show notes and on our website, www.njhomelandsecurity.gov.
Hello, everyone. My name is Dean Barada, and I'm the Bureau Chief of the Analysis Bureau at the New Jersey Office of Homeland Security and Preparedness. Today, we're going to do a special edition of our podcast, Intelligence Unclassified, to talk about some new propaganda that's come out from the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria and al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula. I'm joined today by two of our analysts, Alyssa and Angie. So I just want to start off. Last week, we had these two issues of English language magazines come out. But let's back up a little bit and let's talk about it. So the first is Ramaya. So Angie, what is Ramaya?
Ramaya is ISIS's online English language magazine that they put out every month, and it's targeted for the group's global supporters.
And Alyssa, for Inspire, which is the other group, al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula, can you tell us what about that?
So Inspire guides are a series of short publications that act as supplements that come out in addition to the regular Inspire magazines, which they only publish twice per year. So the Inspire guides serve as a tactical and an analytical piece following key attacks.
Okay. So the Ramaya comes out every month, right? Almost like clockwork?
Almost, yeah. Beginning of every month, one will come out.
And the Inspire magazines twice a year, and the guides sort of whenever there's an attack.
About four times a year. So they had four come out last year and only one this year.
Okay. Now, in the latest issue of Ramaya, how long is it, and what are the key points in that issue?
The magazine is a little over 40 pages long. They tend to vary, but they stay within the 40-page range. Some of the main points that I saw in this one, the one that was exclusive to the English version of Ramaya this time, was one that was encouraging theft and justifying what they are labeling as financial jihad. So it's calling on supporters to cause economic harm to Western businesses and individuals. So it's encouraging their supporters to go out and steal. They're legitimizing and justifying theft from non-Muslims or stealing from non-Muslims. So go out and steal clothing, vehicles, gold and silver, etc. And one-fifth of those profits should go to the leader of the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria, so Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi. But if you are able to steal something and kill someone as well, then you get to keep all those profits for yourself. So that was the summary of that financial jihad article. This magazine also briefly mentions the attack that recently took place in the United Kingdom that targeted the parliament. And it provided a brief paragraph on what happened, calling the attacker a soldier of the caliphate. So what really this means is the magazine did not provide any type of indication that the attack was coordinated. So the analysis there is that it was an inspired attack. And then they also provided a one-page infographic on the attacker's weapon selection and target choice. So not too much there on that attack. Another thing worth mentioning was an article written by an ISIS member who was recently killed in January. So in this article, they confirmed his death. He is the individual who was on the cover of the Ramaya 8 magazine this time around. And this individual, his name is Abu Sulaiman al-Shami. His real name is Ahmed Abu Samra. This individual is a U.S. citizen. He grew up in Boston, and he attended the University of Massachusetts, where he acquired a computer science degree. This person, I believe, is very critical to the group. He took a key and leading role in translating a lot of ISIS propaganda to English, and he was also the one that helped establish the group's Dabiq magazine. Dabiq magazine is Ramaya's predecessor magazine. It was discontinued in August of 2016. And he also helped lead the foreign language team as well in ISIS.
So the Inspire guide that just came out was all about the UK attack, right?
Yes.
So Angie said in the Ramea magazine there was a one-page infographic and I think a paragraph or two about it. How did AQAP talk about that attack?
AQAP likes to break things down in the Inspire guide. So 4 out of the 5 Inspire guides have actually broken down these attacks into a format. So they have general analysis, a message of the operation, guidance for attacks, and then a typical shout out to lone offenders. So in the case of the UK attack, they said that the operation was a perfect operation. So they've only said that one other time, and that was the Nice, France attack, where they have said in the past that any guidance that anyone has taken from AQAP in the past, so that would be something like a vehicular attack where they've gone back and gotten ideas from AQAP, that that's considered a perfect operation. So they will pile on the praise for an attack like that where someone was killed and then eventually the attacker is martyred.
And one of the interesting things, right, is both groups, ISIS and AQAP, sort of are celebrating this UK attack. But the way they talk about these attacks, what do they say about how they see each other?
For ISIS, when they mention an attack, they just praise it or claim it, for instance. I believe with the AQAP Inspire guides, they give a little more. They provide a critique to the reader. Sometimes they'll break it down, and Alyssa, please chime in. They will, this is what you did right, this is what you did wrong, this is how you could do it better
exactly.
Next time.
Exactly. They will give that kind of praise and then say, well, you could have done this differently, and why don't you go back and look at Inspire 2 for some, you know, additional information or different ways that you can add on to that attack.
And the people they praise or these operations that they break down, they don't necessarily need to be done in support of AQAP, is that correct?
Anyone that they deem that used one of their tactics, which is most of the attacks that we've seen, they will either critique it and praise it, or again, they'll make suggestions how they could have done things differently.
With ISIS, they'll claim that person solely for themselves. I think what the Inspire guides tend to do, AQAP's basically saying, hey, this is for all of jihad, not just a specific group. And
yes.
They try to draw, or they try to reference previous Inspire magazines that everybody says, hey, remember we talked about vehicle attacks back in...
Right.
in
AQAP doesn't discriminate against
yes.
anyone. They'll take anything.
So let's just talk very briefly about how each of them provides or doesn't provide tactical guidance. Alyssa, you talked about AQAP's built this whole new product, these Inspire
right.
guides, which is sort of an evolution of what they used to do?
Well, it's a shorter version. So I think that they've had to compete with ISIS now, and they need to win some more hearts and minds of people they've potentially lost. So bringing up these shorter guides, which are typically only 3 to 7 pages, most of them are 3 pages, they're just basically cutting down what was good or bad about the operation. They've already put out everything, all the tactics. They're already out there in previous Inspire magazines. So they don't really need to rehash how to make a bomb or put together an IED or suggest running someone over with your car or, you know, bringing out a knife from your kitchen. They've already done that. So this is just a way to repackage that information and, you know, suggest it again.
And these guides as well, they kind of strip out all the or most of the ideology and the flowery language. They get right
yes.
down to practicality. It's almost like a recipe in
yes.
a way, right?
There's no articles or anything like that, as opposed to Inspire magazine, which is typically like a Dabiq or a Ramaya, where they're calling on clerics and other, you know, kind of information and people to justify what they're doing. This is just simply tactical information.
So how does ISIS interact with tactical guidance for people?
I feel like with the Ramea now, the tactical guidance is pretty clear cut and straight to the point when it comes to this is the type of knife you need to get. This is how to use the knife in an attack. In terms of justifying attacks, for instance, the attack against the Istanbul nightclub, they had to dedicate a good 5 to 6 pages to justify that attack since they targeted Sunni Muslims. But with respect to the tactical guidance, the Just Terror Tactics article available in Rumeyah, they actually do something different where they provide clear-cut right down to the...
So they provide that in every issue?
Actually, no. So they have provided it from issues 2, 3, 4, and 5. Issues 1, 6, 7, and 8, they have not provided tactical guidance. So what we've seen, so outside of the first issue, the past 3 issues we've seen have excluded a Just Terror Tactics article. So to provide a recap for listeners, issues 2, 3, 4, and 5 all had provided detailed tactical instructions on how to conduct a knife attack, a vehicle attack, and an arson attack. And one was repeated, the knife attack was repeated twice.
So it sounds like AQAP is getting more into the tactical guidance in their propaganda. ISIS is getting away from it. Is that accurate?
Yes. Yep.
So last thing, you had mentioned there was an article in the latest Rumeyah about what they called economic jihad, and they recommended stealing clothes and breaking contracts. This sounds different from the dramatic threats we heard in 2014, 2015, when they were going to take over the world. Does this say something about the status of ISIS now, or is it just a new tactic? What is this? What should we learn from this?
I think this article, in conjunction with other things I've been seeing with the previous issues of Rumeyah, what I've been seeing is they can tell us a little bit about ISIS's current status. So with the theft, I feel like many of us have talked about this, that theft article seemed a little petty, I would say. So it's just showing that even if someone does not conduct an attack in our name, if they do conduct a robbery or a theft, they can say, I claim this for ISIS, and it's another easy win for them. In terms of the past few issues that I've been seeing, we're seeing them, again, not mention the tactical guidance. They're focusing more on local issues, so stuff that's going on at home in Iraq and Syria. They're highlighting and emphasizing regional enemies, specifically Turkey, where initially Rumeyah is supposed to focus on its global supporters and talk about global issues or global enemies in general. We're seeing them focus on more local things that are probably more relevant to the individuals or supporters that are in that region, for instance.
Last question I have for you all is, people are always speculating if ISIS and Al-Qaeda are going to get back together again. And so is there anything in this propaganda that leads us to think that will or will not happen?
Never.
Is there?
No.
Okay.
This wasn't the first time. In the last Rumeyah issue, Rumeyah 8, they called the leader of Al-Qaeda Ayman al-Zawahiri. And one of the leaders of of Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula, they called him the Jews of Jihad.
Probably not a compliment
the best way to reconcile.
No.
So I don't see it.
AQAP does a little less name calling. They don't call out ISIS, I feel like, as
by
much
name.
Personally. They don't like, you know, how they go about doing things, but they kind of keep their message on point. You know, let's hit the West, let's hit the United States, and... You know, we don't like ISIS, but, you know, we're not going to focus too much on them.
Is AQAP almost like, ignore them? We're not going to pay attention to them and they'll go away, that sort of thing?
Exactly. But I feel like Al-Qaeda has come out and said stuff about ISIS, but they rarely call them by name. They rarely say ISIS. They'll say something else.
Well, as you said, I don't think they're petty.
Right.
I think they just think that they're this superior brand and that they're not going to stoop to that level.
So I'll throw the floor open to either one of you. Anything else you want to leave our listeners with?
I think one of the other things we should probably close with is for coming editions, so future issues that are coming out for Rumeyah, for instance. And Dean, we've talked about this before in terms of, you know, what are they going to look like? And I feel like it depends on it's reactive, right? So if there's an attack that's happened and it was claimed by ISIS, they'll highlight that and mention that. They'll try to amplify or emphasize certain things that's going on locally to make themselves appear as if they're still winning. And I feel like that will probably be the general theme for Rumeyah going forward.
But we should expect a Rumeyah in like the first week of every month. And if we didn't see one, that would indicate something's going on organizationally, right?
I would agree. Another point to mention here is that since between August 2016 up until this month, the group lost key propaganda figures, so including the individual that helped establish Dabiq in Rumeyah, the minister of propaganda, the chief propagandist, and others as well. So These are all very big losses for the group in terms of its media machine. So if we were not to see something in the beginning of every month, I would say that that's a big indicator.
AQAP has continuously lost their propaganda machine, starting in 2011 with the two that started Inspire magazine, Al-Waqi and Samir Khan. So they've had to continuously reinvent themselves and Inspire magazine. So we only see Inspire, the full issue, come out twice a year. So we saw it come out in November 2016. So I would expect to see that in the next couple of months. They did just put out the Inspire guide. But again, that only happens when they feel justification that they need to put something out. But, you know, I think we'll continue to see Inspire magazine and the Inspire guides come out no matter how many people they've lost.
And so certainly after a significant attack somewhere in the West, we would expect to see Inspire guides come out within a couple weeks.
Yes, usually within a couple of weeks, I would say 7 to 10 days of an attack that they feel is significant to report on.
Great. Alyssa, Angie, thank you very much.
Thank you
for listening to Intelligence Unclassified.
Again, all links can be found in the show notes and on our website at www.njhomelandsecurity.gov. If you have any ideas or topics for future episodes, please contact us on Twitter at NJOHSP or email us at intelunclass@njohsp.gov. Thanks for listening, and don't forget to subscribe to Intelligence Unclassified.